Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for May 17th, 2010. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Online Labels, a world leader in blank, laser, and inkjet labels, especially serving small businesses. Over 130 label sizes, guaranteed low prices. Click, print, and stick at onlinelabels.com. Have you ever wondered what it takes to make a small business successful? You may think it's the big idea that they have, or maybe that they have a lot of money, but you may be surprised to find that while those things may or may not figure in, what really matters is the caliber of the person leading the business. It's not the idea or the money that makes a business successful, or even that makes a person successful. It's the person propelling things forward, the mover and the shaker behind it all. So says today's guest, Stephen D. Wood. He is the author of Be Bodacious, Put Life in Your Leadership. This is a brand new book. It's a very exciting book, and it tells some stories that can help you really embrace the concept of leadership, not just a lot of sort of list of things to think about and things to do. Stephen's done an awesome job of putting things together in that perspective. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Donna Maria, and it's really good to be here, and thanks for the good words about the book.
Well, and it is a wonderful book, and it's interesting too, Stephen. I have a question. There are a lot of books out there on leadership today, some dealing specifically with small businesses, some not, but there's an awful lot out there on leadership. So I'd like to know, what is it that gave you the idea about this book, and what does it do that's a little bit different or a lot different from what's already available out there?
Well, that's a good question, Donna Maria, and I've asked that regularly because there are a lot of leadership books. There's a lot of leadership learnings and seminars and whatever. It's a crowded market in that. And so when I started writing the book, I had to really think, why would I want to write this? Why would it be different? As you know from reading the book, it takes a whole different approach. It's not just rehashed leadership stories that you may have heard various examples of, or it's not just academic studies. Now, while some of the principles in here are certainly based on actual learnings and data, the focus of the book was to make it entertaining and to put it to where it could be retained. Now, a lot of the leadership material today, and I read a lot of it, we have trouble retaining it because of it's really having something connected to. So in my position I'm currently in with a corporation, my role is to motivate and move sales teams, and particularly move them to achieve large goals and real game-changing goals. And to do that, you really have to motivate them in a different way. It's, while a piece of it's the brain, a piece of it's getting them the data and the information, really it's getting them inspired, motivated, feeling like they're a part of this change, the excitement that's there, and getting them moving. So whenever I would use an opportunity where I was speaking in front of a group, I'd use stories, and always wanted to make it unique stories, entertaining stories, some of them to get them really thinking, and unique characters that would cause them to remember particular names. So
right.
That's the difference in this book. And there are three basic leadership principles that really wanted to hone in on the book.
Right, and the book does such a great job of that, and it is entertaining. I want to talk a little bit, too, Stephen, about your background. You come from an interesting background, and you've done a really interesting job of weaving your background into who you are today and how you share and motivate people today. So I'd like for you to share a little bit about that. And then what would you say to other people who have a different background from you, because we're all unique? What are some of the concepts that we need to embrace in order to prepare ourselves to take our backgrounds and use them and leverage them to become the leaders that we were meant to be?
That's really great. I'm glad you picked up on that, because that's really a key point, because so often where our background is really, it's a big piece of who we are.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we can either use it to leverage our success, or at times, unfortunately, we use it to hold us back. So, for instance, in my case, I came from a rural background when working farms, ranches, and very far from the corner office in a corporate operation. Matter of fact, it was back in those days, I mean, I really couldn't feature myself going from ranch and, you know, that type of environment to corporate leadership. So, you know, could have used that background to hold me back, mm-hmm. but really used it for a bit of a unique advantage, a bit of a unique branding when I was in the corporate environment, and not over-leveraging it to the point where it was not genuine or not sincere, but just really being who I was and really weaving in and maintaining the importance of my background, my heritage, and the integrity that goes along with those things, and keeping that intact throughout the journey up through the corporate world.
And this is interesting that you said that, Steve, because so many of us struggle with, well, I could never become successful as that person because they grew up this way, or they grew up with that advantage and I didn't have that. Let's encourage people to, as you did, not be put in that kind of a box. How do you, it's scary, isn't it? How do we deal with that fear of, you know, they have this and they have that and I'd like to excel as well? Not suggesting that we want to be like other people, but I'd like to achieve as well. But, you know, I don't have this and I don't have this. How can we put that into perspective so we can really take advantage of the three bodacious leadership tips that you offer in your book?
You know, it's not about what you don't have. Mm-hmm. It's taking what you do have and learning from other people that have other talents. I'm very fortunate to work around I say that in the on the back of the book, I think some of the top leaders in corporate America and some of the best educated and some that have just tremendous business knowledge, general management knowledge, and they have certain skills, and I admire those skills, and there's some of them that I could never be as proficient as they are. But then on the other hand, there are some skills that I possess that you know, that they may not be as strong in. So it's not about limiting, so I could never do this or that because I don't have that particular talent. And then sometimes it's a matter of when you're lacking something, taking the initiative to go learn it. Because sometimes along with this, you know, well, I could never do that, it simply comes from not pursuing the opportunities that really stretch us. And that can be an opportunity to learn something that we've never done before, and maybe in business, maybe new products, maybe learning for some of us who were not up on it, is social media and all the world that's out there that's going on in that.
Right, and it's interesting, because that sort of raises my next question, because the main character in your book who's learning from the cowboy who's teaching him, we're going to get into a little more detail about that in a minute, but one of the first pieces of advice he gives him is to spend an hour and a half in the morning, every morning, even on weekends, doing some specific things. Can you share what those things are generally and why they're so important?
Right. This goes, and that is a piece out of the book that is obviously a part of me and shared. And not all the book's about me. A lot of people read the book, particular people that know me, and they say, well, is Cowboy you? And who's this character? Who's Josh? And I remind them that Cowboy's really not a single person. It's not an individual. It's not me. Cowboy is all these great leaders that I've had the opportunity to work with through the years, and the people that have influenced me in my life rode into this person that's teaching Josh, you know, the young person that's wanting to be mentored.
Right.
And so Cowboy is really not an individual. However, that piece is something that was passed down to me as, I think, some golden information conversation the importance of spending time working on yourself. And that's time in reflection. That's time. For me, it's a time when I'm not working on my business. So, for instance, in the corporate world, I do absolutely my best for that hour and a half in the morning not to spend it answering email, not to spend it planning my calendar for what I'm going to do corporately. Yet I choose that time to read books. I choose that time to listen to other speakers. I spend that time, for me, I spend it in prayer. That's important, my prayer time. It's an important time to spend there. And I also spend about half that time just walking out for a long walk, really getting connected during that time, just where it's quiet and there's no worries around. And for me, it's great stress relief. I just don't start the morning with the news reports.
Right.
And so for me, when I do hit the office, it's not cluttered with all the negative events of the day. And I do have some self-thought about where I'm headed.
And, you know, what's interesting, too, about Josh, who, as you said, is the young man that Cowboy is mentoring, you know, let's talk a little bit, as we close out our session, about what he did. I mean, he took an extraordinary step to talk with Cowboy in the first place. So, you know, sort of correlate that to what we as small business owners have to do in terms of, you know, taking risks, essentially.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, whether you're a small business owner or a large business, and it, one of the things that really did inspire me to begin to finish the book and publish it, I had the opportunity in the middle of 2008 as business started turning down, you know, as our economy really started showing signs of recession. In our corporation, we were showing significant revenue decline, as a lot of businesses were, large and small. So I had the opportunity, you know, because I've always had a passion for growing business, finding new business, retaining business with our customers. And so for us, it was a very bold initiative to go out and actually commit to growing our business. And I mean millions, tens of millions of dollars in a recession.
Mm-hmm.
And so where many of our competitors just chose to do what everybody else was doing, and that's just really pull back and believe that there were limited opportunities in the market, to not really go out and approach market opportunities with a real boldness, we did. And it paid off big for us. We were able to grow our business in excess of $80 million during a recession time. Now, for a small business, that would be a lot, but it's all in perspective.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second, because what kind of mindset did you need? Because that's a scary thought, to go out and do something unique and unusual. When you're a small business owner, as most of our listeners are today, we have, you know, we do have a budget, and we are wearing all the hats. So,
right.
You you are taking a risk because, you know, may not happen the way you want it to. But it sounds like what you're saying is, number one, you don't know until you try, but that bodaciousness, which is in the title of your book, is that partly defined by people who do things in spite of the fact that the chances are pretty good that it won't work out?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it takes a certain amount of awareness that you could fail.
Uh-huh.
But really, I think your failure is avoided or maybe not as likely to happen if you'll use the three principles that I certainly, and I did use these as we built this initiative to grow business during
okay.
the economic recession. And it was, first of all, we had to have an extraordinary commitment to doing it. So I really believe that whatever you're going to do in business, if you're, really must have an extraordinary commitment to seeing the business grow, to making at times some of those investments that can be painful. It's not to make foolish investments, it's to make, but to have really a commitment to what you're wanting to do. In our case, our commitment was to grow the business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And to maintain that commitment when people were saying, you got to be kidding, you can't grow the business right now. Businesses are shrinking. What are you doing? First of all, that extraordinary commitment. And it really takes that, because there's times you get really start even, people will second guess you. Then next is just unrestrained passion. And that is important for the leader to have a high degree of passion, because if you don't have passion for what you're doing, if you don't have passion for growing your business, if you don't have passion for your product that you're selling, who will? I mean, it is that excitement about what you're going to achieve and the vision that mm-hmm. you're giving to the people, and really help keep people focused on the end destination of what can take place. So the leader definitely has to really have a lot of passion about achieving the goal and move that to the top leaders around them. And then finally, just bold action, stepping out to take action. And that at times is the scariest part. That is, at times, may mean writing the check. In my case, it may mean writing the book. I never wrote.
Right.
So it is. It's about taking that bold action to actually begin to realize whatever your dream or your goal is.
Today we're talking with Stephen D. Wood, the author of Be Bodacious, Put Life in Your Leadership. Great tips from our guest today. When we come back from our break, we're going to pick Steve's brain a little bit more about three very specific characteristics that he says an effective leader has. Right here on Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking today with Stephen D. Wood, the author of Be Bodacious, Put Life in Your Leadership. And this is a unique leadership book, I would say, because while there are a lot of leadership books out there that are quite good, this one actually tells some stories and gives you a little bit of things to laugh about, a little examples of real life events or lifelike events that can help you sort of put things in perspective. And Steve says that there are really three bodacious secrets. So, Steve, I want to cover very briefly each one of those, if we can, right now. Can you share what the first one is and why is it so important?
Well, and right before the break, we had a chance to touch on these just briefly. First of all, it's an extraordinary commitment, and it's an extraordinary commitment. It may be a personal goal that you have, maybe a business goal, a business initiative. But it's very important before you launch, and this show specifically speaking to small business owners, obviously they had an extraordinary commitment to their business whenever they took the step to enter into that venture. And it really does take an extraordinary commitment, not just when things are going good, but also when things are going bad, to stay committed to the goal and to the dream that you had. And the second piece is an unrestrained passion or that goal or that dream, and not letting disappointments dampen that passion, to really be unrestrained in being excited and passionate about achieving the goal. And even at times when it feels like that maybe no one else is, when you kind of go through these valleys of time, whenever it may not seem like everybody's behind you, that you are passionate about the goal and, that you're wanting to achieve. And then finally, the ability to take bold action. I'm sorry?
No, that's bold action. But I want to go back to extraordinary for a second.
Yes.
About taking extraordinary steps. But you know what's interesting about what your book says is it says be extraordinary. And I wonder if people see taking extraordinary steps as different from being extraordinary. And I want to explore this, if it's okay with you, Steve, because I do think that before people, and I'm speaking from my perspective as a small business owner as well, before we can take extraordinary steps, do we have to kind of see ourselves as extraordinary first or believe that we are? How would you characterize that?
Well, as you know, really go through in some of the presentations that I've had to do around that, it really does come down to, at times, ordinary is the biggest enemy that we have of being extraordinary. And it's okay. At times we accept ordinary results. And I think that at times, I know in the corporate world, which is really no different than the small business world, really accepting that we're just doing okay, that is a big enemy to being extraordinary. And it's having just ordinary expectations, too, about what we want to achieve. So really, ordinary is the biggest enemy to extraordinary, and to be extraordinary means to have extra commitment. And it's this extra persistence that goes in on top of that commitment that you have, and that the passion, the belief in this go. So
they feed off of each other. In other words, even if you don't feel so extraordinary, as you take what you would consider to be an extraordinary step, does your confidence grow so it kind of cycles back to the internal feeling or knowledge that you need to have about your abilities that then takes you to the next step, so the cycle just keeps repeating itself?
It does. I mean, the two do feed on each other. One of the things that I will ask is this ordinary? Am I really looking at this in an extraordinary way?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, it's interesting when you do commit to extraordinary, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of determination to continue that path.
Yeah, I think a lot of times today, and we're talking with small business owners who largely use, leverage the internet a lot, there's a lot out there today that people are selling and promoting that sort of makes it seem easy. It's so easy that, it's the internet, it's easy.
Yeah, and this whole commitment to being extraordinary, I would say, is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It really does take persistence.
Right.
And it's very important that you have your integrity grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Your boundaries, the guidelines, that you don't let those things blur in the process.
Right, and one of the things your book talks about is, it's great to learn the secrets to being bodacious. It's great to have good business principles and even integrity, but unless you're willing to sacrifice and go far beyond the learning and actually commit to doing specific things, it's all going to be just stuff you know.
That's correct. And, it's one thing to have a great education and to spend a lot of time learning about achieving something or learning about things, and having that knowledge is important and it can really help you a lot. But if you choose not to do anything, or if you're really not committed to achieving what you want to achieve, then it just really doesn't do anything for you.
Well, Steve, what is your definition of bodacious?
Well, it does. It is contained. It's these three words, really: extraordinary, unrestrained, and bold. Now, I know that's not the dictionary definition of bodacious. It's really, you know, bodacious is a combination of bold and audacious. But I really felt like that word captured the element of those three things. So if I had to take those three and say, really, what does it take? It takes this bodacious attitude. It takes this bold and a bit of that audacious attitude to make these things happen. Because first, it really does happen with your commitment yourself. It happens with your excitement about achieving this goal.
And, you know, when I think about some people who are just ordinary people, one person that comes to mind, I don't mean just ordinary, but of course everyone is ordinary unless they decide to be something different. But we had a guest on the show once, Paula Deen, who is, of course, a Food Network star, had her on the show many years ago, which is really interesting because she was just sort of starting to become a little bit known. And would that be an example of someone, if you know about her background? She was a single mom, she had agoraphobia, wasn't going outside, had to feed her kids, started making sandwiches, and her kids would deliver them during the lunch hour, and, you know, then they opened a restaurant, and, you know, sort of the rest is what it is today. Is that an example of someone who just kind of, you know, took those bold steps to, you know, I guess release some of the fear or, you know, some of the ordinariness, and sort of just, you know, just as you say, was just unrestrained with her goal of feeding people, essentially.
Right. You know, I think that's a great example right there. I mean, number one, to admire somebody that did what she's done is just amazing. But I think that's an absolutely great example of this. She was very good at what she did, and she had to have a very strong commitment to go out and make this happen. I think she's passionate about what she does, and, you know, I've not seen her that often, but I think she's very very excited about what she does, and I think it's a great example.
So we can sort of look, as your book talks about, spending that hour and a half in the morning, or however much time it is, one of the things we can do is really look at those real-life stories, maybe read her website even, or listen to an audio, or even watch one of her shows, or maybe, you know, there are lots of people out there that can mentor us, right, that we may never actually even meet.
That's right, and, you know, you'd mentioned an hour and a half in the morning, and the fact is that for a lot of people, the morning's not their time. I mean, I happen to be a morning person. There's other people that are not morning people. They're going to have to find that hour and a half, that time that they set aside for themselves. Sometime else, you know, at other times during the day. And for some people, that's in the evening. And that may be before they go to bed. That may be the time that they have to just set aside time for themselves, you know, when the house is quiet, in some cases when the kids are put down and all the excitement and all the duties of the day are behind them. For some people, that's the opportune time. And for others, it's a matter of finding the time that they have that they may be spending on things that you're just maybe not as productive, like spending time. There's probably some television shows you could cut out, you know, just surfing the web, doing things like that, where they mm-hmm. can find that time.
Yeah, so part of that commitment then is being committed to experimenting with different time frames, right? Because I think that's where a lot of people get hung up. They feel like it has to be in the morning, and if it doesn't work, then they just don't do it, as opposed to trying different times and really maybe even keeping charts or written notes of how or whether your productivity changes based on when you take that time for yourself.
Yeah, I do just think it's very important that you take time for yourself, and it can be really crowded out with all the activities that people have in their lives. Finding time for yourself to really work on your goals, your dreams, can really be shortchanged.
And I know that with small business owners, again, we're going back there because that's mainly who our audience is, one of the things that has happened is social media, as you mentioned earlier, has become a very wonderful way to a tool that we can use to promote our businesses and share our ideas. Have you watched some people kind of utilize that to the exclusion of doing some of the other quiet time sort of planning things that you've described?
Well, it's certainly, if you're not careful, it is interesting, you know, Facebook and the tweets. I mean, I find myself tempted to go look at those.
You can get kind of sucked in, can't you?
Right, you can, because it is interesting, you know, to see who's posting what, and before you know it, you can find yourself, you know, just engaged in the social media.
And having a great time, but not getting anywhere with your goals.
Right, and I think there's just an opportunity, particularly in times when you want to really set your direction and focus on achieving something that is bodacious in your life. It's really going to be more than what you've experienced before or reached out for. That I think this quiet time is even more important during that time.
So since we're talking in our last few minutes before we go to break, since we're talking about scheduling in this kind of quiet time, can you share, would you be willing to share what sorts of scheduling or calendaring tools you use to organize your day? It must be quite a challenge to do that week after week.
Well, for me, and as the readers might read in the book, in my case, I started as a young man and, you know, from working on farms. One of the things that we did was we had to be there to get the milking barn going to milk dairy cows. And so I got very used at a young age to getting up and being at the barn at 4 a.m. So for me, my scheduling was a pattern that was taught and learned way back. Now, that doesn't fit many people at all. Most people just, that's not going to fit them. So really, for me, it's almost natural. I'm up early. I'm an early riser because that's the way of part of my background. But for not everybody, that's, it's not going to come natural. So you mentioned tools. They are going to have to use some tools to schedule that in. And I think one of the best tools sometimes is just having the is that on-off switch on whatever may be distracting you sometimes.
Okay. So turn down the sound on the thing that dings when an email comes in and stuff like that.
You know, and that may sound real simple, but sometimes, you know, it's not about just getting the next tool. It's not about, you know, subscribing to this web service or to getting, you know, next version of Outlook or the new tool.
Right.
Sometimes it's just about really having the commitment to have some discipline.
Oh, excellent. Words of wisdom to close out our second segment. We're going to come back and finish talking with Stephen D. Wood, the author of Be Bodacious, Put Life in Your Leadership. And by the way, you can follow Stephen on Twitter at Stephen with a V, S-T-E-V-E-N, _D_Wood. Check him out. He tweets about some interesting things having to do with leadership and his experiences leading a business. This is Donna Maria, Indy Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Back today with our final segment of Indy Business Radio with author Stephen D. Wood. This book, Be Bodacious, Put Life in Your Leadership, is the foundation for our discussion today. And by the way, you can visit Steve's website at Stephen with a V, StephenDWood.com. You can learn about Steve. You can read his blog. You can get your copy of the book, and I think you can even get download a free chapter of the book if you sign up for that. So, you know, Steve, what's interesting about this book is there are a lot of bottom lines to it, but one of them, one of the very clear, distinct messages I got is the importance of mentorship. I get emails all the time from people who say, how can I find a mentor? I need a mentor. People know that they need this. They sense that they need it, usually very quickly after they start a business, but they're not quite sure what to do next. How do you get a mentor? Are they free? Do you have to pay for them? Can you luck up like Josh and have one in your work environment?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I can tell you from my own personal experience, I went through a time when I was looking for a mentor. Who could be a mentor and really just reveal the single person that could reveal all these secrets to me about how I could be successful or how I could change my life or how I could do things? And personally, what I discovered is it really wasn't just one person. It was, in my case, many people. And many people that I'd had contact with through the years that have actually been actively involved with mentoring me, it's just I didn't realize at the time that maybe they were, and maybe I wasn't engaged. Cowboy, the main character of the book, who's telling the story, mentioned at the first of our interview, is really not one individual. He is many mentors that I've observed in my life rolled into one, because a lot of times the mentors in our life don't just hit us at one stage in our life. I mean, some of you may need when you first start business, the mentors you need then versus the mentors that you need when your business matures could be totally different. So I think the mentors are around us every day. It's important that we are sincere in our relationships, that we take steps to seek them out. In one of the chapters in the book, there's a character in there called TD, and TD actually helps rescue Cowboy whenever he was in some tough situations there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that are the individuals that can be, those are the individuals that can be a mentor at times whenever we're going through our toughest times. If we'll look around in that trouble, we'll see that's when some of our greatest mentors are there.
And if I could, I want to share a little story and maybe get your thoughts on it. It's interesting because mentors oftentimes, in my life anyway, have come in at the times when I least expected them, in the packages that I least expected. Several months ago, I was in my favorite local coffee shop where there's Wi-Fi, which is really my second office. And I was working there, and a gentleman came over. He looked like he was maybe in his early 70s, and he just struck up a conversation with me. And I was thinking, this is the last thing I have time for us to chat, this person about, you know, the favorite coffee flavor or whatever. But anyway, he sat down at my table and ended up giving me his best three tips for starting, for being successful in business. And then I saw him a couple of months later, and he came to my table again, and he said, you know, you look like you're working really hard. What's your biggest challenge now, and how can I help you? And we ended up having a great conversation. He's been calling me and just giving of himself he's a retired businessman, obviously, at his age. He has a lot of wisdom to offer. And so I say that to ask you, you know, to share your tips on, you know, just being open to things that we don't necessarily expect. I mean, he's helped me so much, and, you know, my attitude at the beginning was I just don't have time to talk, but there was this extraordinary silver lining there.
Well, you know, when I started writing the book, I didn't really start out to write a book as much as I started to wanted to capture some of the wisdom that had been passed on to me by people I've known through the years, some of my mentors.
Okay.
What they share with me. And as I began recording those, really that's what led to the book and the stories to connect those. Mm-hmm. So what I discovered was that during this time that I would spend reflecting, you know, these individuals, as I would think about them, would spur me to think, well, you know, that's what I learned from that person. That's the wisdom I learned from that individual, and took those and really rolled those into, here's this one mentor in my, that even though it was not one person, to me it was a single mentor. And it was interesting what spurred really, and I do write a piece about that in the book, Cowboy Reflects on it, but this is actually true in my life. My wife went through some pretty great lengths to find a picture of me with four of my cowboy friends. And it was a picture taken one day when we was at the end of a work day. I don't even remember exactly when it was taken. But it was these rough-looking guys standing in a cow pen in front of a barn. And she took that picture, and when she got that for me, it was at a time whenever I was going through a lot of career change, career opportunity, you know, really need to ground myself
right.
on some, what is my philosophy, who am I, and what am I about, you know, and what am I going to accomplish? And when I look at that picture, I said, you know, if you can go from this point, right here where you were as a young man with these four rough-looking cowboys, you know, there were some great things learned there at that time. And so then just begin reflecting on all the people that had impacted my life since that point and led me up until to the current day. So that's where I found my mentor. Not, it wasn't one single person, and I still find mentors every day. I have the opportunity to meet and work with them on a daily basis.
That's a really good way to think about it. It's not just one person. So we have this collective, I guess, body of human knowledge and persons that we can incorporate and create our own sort of big mentorship package as we move forward in our business.
Well, that certainly was very important for me, and I still, as I was wanting to really capture all that, that, you know, cowboy, as he's captured in this book, and really did become my mentor, and I would hope to, as I write future editions, that it would just be other things that are added that I've learned from other people as I continue along.
And you have now you're in a position to mentor other people. When you speak around the country to business leaders, what is one of the single most impactful statements you think you share with them? What do you get? Where do you see people's eyes light up the most? Are they, you know, like light bulbs coming on in their head when you share something? What statements does that happen with?
You know, I think where I see them, and this is speaking with business people, where I can go through and talk about having extraordinary commitment and being very passionate, have an unrestrained passion and take bold action, you get a lot of head nods, and people agree, and they say, you know, that's exactly right, and that you can see they're examining themselves. But one of the last chapters in the book talks about persistence and this ability to persist, and it tells a story where, in this case, there's a little pig in the story, and I won't tell the whole story because I don't want to give it away, but in that case, the little pig actually was not in the advantage. And I think it's where I hit the aha moment is when people understand that you don't always have to have the advantage. You don't always have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the biggest business. You don't have to have the most money. You don't have to have the most resources to win. It really takes this, this where I see the biggest aha moment is when people do realize they can do it, and it really is going to take persistence on their part.
And that is certainly within everyone's reach, where millions of dollars or other sorts of things may not be.
That's correct.
That's an interesting thing, because it's an empowering thing to say. Maybe that's why the light bulbs tend to go off at that time.
Well, I do think so. You see people where they see that, you know, every small business, and I have the opportunity to work with in my row, we sell our products to independent business people and what would be termed as small businesses. So through my career of over 30 years with this company, I've had the opportunity to work with many independent businesses who have started their business from scratch. have had the opportunity to start with people from the first day they opened business to the time they grew their businesses to doing tens of millions of dollars in revenue. And through that time, that's one of the things that I've seen that really helped help them was whenever there wasn't enough money, the economy wasn't cooperating, was this persistence to hang in there, this this real passion and commitment to their dream.
Right, just hanging in there. I heard a actor in Hollywood on some entertainment show, I can't remember what it was, who said there are no failed actors in Hollywood, just people who don't hang in there long enough.
Well, and I really don't know about actors, but I've certainly seen that in business. I have seen people that were even at points where I said, I just can't believe they're hanging in. I mean, it's just amazing. And or they may take on, I've had the opportunity to watch individuals go into a marketplace that, you know, first glance you wonder, why would they go in business there? It seems dominated by a particular company, a particular group. And it seems like, well, it's just going to be, how can they ever overcome that? And yet they do. And they become the big business in the market. And I've always been just really awestruck and impressed by individuals I've seen do that.
Well, and that's an interesting thing to point out as we round our show out, Steve, because I don't know of very many markets today that aren't crowded or dominated, because it's so much easier today, at least from a technical perspective, to start a business, because the resources and information are so much more available than ever before because of the Internet.
Yes.
So it's almost a requirement, unless you're in a very unusual and unique industry, it's almost a requirement that you have the kind of mindset that you described, because 9 times out of 10, you are going to be going into an industry where there are a lot of other successful people already there.
Right, and leadership is the difference. And when you start off in business, as I've had the chance to work with people who have, they start off with themselves. I mean, there's many times it's a small operation, themselves or two or three people, and they grow it. But really what the difference from becoming a small business to really growing is this element of leadership. I don't only see that in small business. It's very evident in large business as well. All business really does, it's going to be successful, it really comes down to leadership. Do you have the commitment to lead the team? Do you have the ability to lead the team? And particularly during tough times, and keep them focused and be able to transfer your vision and your passion for your dream to them.
And one of the things that your book talks about, and this is actually a really interesting blog post at your blog right now at stephendwood.com, you share the 8-second rule as we close out. Tell us what that is and how we can incorporate it into our journey as successful business leaders.
Well, in my very brief time of riding rodeo bulls, and mine was very, very brief because I was not good at that, and that is a piece of the book that is based on life situations. But in bull riding, you actually pay to get on the bull. Number one, that amazed me that someone had to pay to get on. I always thought they paid them to get on the bull and ride. And the second thing is, if you must ride 8 seconds. If you buck off in 7 seconds, you get no score. So a 7-second ride is, you come up with nothing. Real cowboys,
and you lose money.
And you lose your money. And even the worst is, in some cases, they may draw a really bad bull and they choose not to get on. That was the whole theme of Bodacious in that story, and inspired a bit of it, because there was a rodeo bull. It was the greatest rodeo bull. It was in the Rodeo Hall of Fame, and the bull's name's Bodacious. And Bodacious was such a feared bull that some riders would opt not to ride the bull, even when they had him on a draw. And even though they'd invested their money, they would choose not to pursue that opportunity. And that kind of gave birth in one of my original talks about pursuing your bodacious opportunities. And many times those are the ones that are going to just absolutely scare you to death, and they seem greater than you are, but there's absolutely no score in the ride that you don't make or the ride that you don't complete.
No score in the ride you don't complete. A great way to end our show today with Stephen D. Wood, author of Be Bodacious, Put Life in Your Leadership. Check out his website and get his book at stephendwood.com and follow him on Twitter, Stephen_D_Wood as well. Stephen, great to have you on the show today. I'm very excited. We are at a hard break now. Wonderful to connect with you. Thanks for joining, everyone. I'll see you next week right here for another edition of IndieBusinessRadio.com. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.